When you hear that Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, you're probably thinking, what's the catch? Well, there isn't one. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans for just $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. All plans come with unlimited talk and text and high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts.
Our producer, Sean, is a big Mint Mobile guy. Here's what he had to say.
For a fraction of the cost, Mint Mobile proved to have excellent coverage with no dropped calls or unsent texts. Plus, they make it super easy for me to activate my device just by following a few simple steps online. And bam, done. It was great.
To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/literally. That's mintmobile.com/literally and cut your wireless bills to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/literally. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Stay connected this winter with this unbeatable deal from Breezeline. Get reliable, fiber-powered internet for just $19.99 per month with all-in pricing for 2 years. But that's not all. Your first month is on us. This deal gets better with a free modem and installation, along with free Wi-Fi your way whole home coverage. Safeguard your network from cyber threats and keep all your devices connected and secured with this amazing offer. Act now. Terms and conditions apply. Offer expires March 3rd, 2024. Learn more at Breezeline.com.
I gotta get going soon. I gotta take the ribs out.
Are you doing like that plastic surgery thing where you're removing your ribs because you think it'll give you a better sight line on camera? Or are there ribs in the oven?
No, I'm taking two of my right ribs out because I'm starving.
I like it. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Literally. I am your trusted, loyal servant host, Roberto Bosifia Slow. Some of you will understand that reference, and some of you will not. And that's just the way it goes, because you know what? We have David Cross on the show today, and we make no apologies for comedy here. We like it dry and wry, and you better keep up with us, because we're not slowing down for anybody, because this mofo is a smart, smart, funny writer, creator, auteur, actor, and his hallmark is really, really smart, wonderful, off-the-wall, irreverent comedy, and we're about to discover that we may have led the same lives. I have to ask you about Bernie Brillstein. Bernie Brillstein was our mutual manager. And had a legendary career, ran studios, discovered everybody from Jim Henson to, you know, all of the early Saturday Night Live people. And
yes, I'm so sorry to tell you he's passed. This is a tough way to find out. Yeah, no, every 2 years or so, there's some reason he comes up, or there's an organic reason to bring him up, and you know, amongst friends or my wife and other friends at a dinner party or something like that, and it almost every single time I will start tearing up a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, I just, when I think about how lucky I am that I was able to just be in his orbit, you know, and watch him do, and he was, you know, instrumental to Bob and I's career, and he was just an amazing guy. And Hee-Haw, he shepherded Hee-Haw, if anybody remembers that.
I don't, listen, if you ever spent any time with Bernie, there are quotes that you will never forget, and I have one about Hee-Haw. He was like, it's really very simple. I looked at the number one and two shows in the world. One was Laughing,
And what was the other was Green Acres. I thought, great. It's Laugh-In for Hicks. Yeah. Laugh-In for Hicks.
And it was huge. It was amazing. Yeah.
I mean, this is like Brooklyn, New York, Jewish city boy.
But he had some amazing stories that were that he acknowledged as being, you know, right place, right time. Like there was some, what's his story about? There was a huge snowstorm and Lenny Bruce was at Carnegie Hall. Do you know that story?
No.
Where I'm going to butcher it, but I can't tell this. I mean, I've only got 20% of the information, but he has so many of those like right place, right time stories.
He was with Elvis on the Ed Sullivan Show. He brought Elvis was from Memphis, obviously, and it was his first time, one of them, to New York, and was freezing. He hadn't brought anything to keep himself warm. I have a photo in my house of Bernie giving Elvis a sweater.
Wow.
Backstage at the Ed Sullivan Show.
Have you talked to Jeff Garland?
Oh, I no, but I know he apparently has great stories.
He has great stories. He does a great impression. It's not even that great, but you just go with it. You're like, oh, sure. I mean, it sounds so appropriately Bernie.
Were you at the now infamous, famous memorial service at Royce Hall at UCLA?
No, I wasn't. I tried to go, but I couldn't.
I'm sure you've heard about it. It was it was so unbelievable to me that I wrote an entire chapter about it in my first book.
Tell me.
Chapter's called No One Follows the Frog. I was chosen as one of the people to eulogize Bernie, which was a high honor. And I think it was Gary Shandling. Brad Gray was at the time one of the most powerful people in Hollywood. I think Lovitz was one. Lorne Michaels. And then Kermit the Frog, because Bernie discovered Jim Henson. Kermit the Frog would then play a banjo rendition of Rainbow Connection. And we were all kind of, not arguing, but kind of trying to figure out who would go first and I didn't want to follow Gary Shandling, who's hilarious, whatever. And Lorne Michaels was producing it, and he's the most brilliant producer I've ever worked with. He can produce from, you know, Simon and Garfunkel in the Park to Saturday Night Live for 75 years to Bernie's funeral. He knows what the hell he's doing. And I said, so what's the order of the speakers? He goes, I don't know yet, but I know that no one follows the frog.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
And when that frog came out and sang that song, I'm telling you, like full on ugly crying.
I believe it.
Was insane. I remember Tim Meadows, who I love, was literally on the floor. It was just the most emotional, sweet.
Yeah.
That's a killer song.
Yeah. And it was, you know, still very, very fresh, you know, his passing.
Yeah. He loved, but boy, and he had, you know, he had a poster of Mr. Show over his toilet in his bathroom.
Yeah. The one in his office?
Yeah.
The one, the automatic door or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, I'll take it for what it is, Rob.
Which is good, I hope.
You're not the only one.
You were in, or at least it's in your credits, of one of my all-time favorite shows ever, Wundershowzen.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, I did that a couple times. That was, I would put that in my top 10 shows ever. One of the most subversive,
gotta be, right?
Smart, subversive, brilliant, unique shows. And I think they only did like 12 episodes or something like that, maybe 16.
Yeah.
Oh, just brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Yeah,
it's one of those shows I discovered. My kids discovered it when they were super young, and
so they don't know what they're watching. You're watching it, going, "Oh my god, this is yeah."
It is one of those shows, and I talk about it whenever I get the chance to. If people have not seen it, it's one of those rare things where you go, "I cannot believe this was put on television."
It's just brilliant and way ahead of its time, still ahead of its time, and and the fact that the show Patience is probably,
oh my god,
one of the most genius things I've ever seen. I won't spoil it for anybody, but and I wouldn't make it the first thing you see. Do not run out and, you know, Google and check that one out. You should just come across it in the natural order of how, you know, if you get the DVDs or stream it or whatever. Patience is amazing. And when you realize what it is, when you realize as it's dawning on you what the show is, what that episode is, it's just genius. And did you ever see Horse Apples?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, which was the hee-haw kind of yes. takeoff. And they did a segment in one of the things, and then they did an entire episode that was just Horse Apples.
Yes, that's the one I really remember.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Did you see their Vernon, John Lee and Vernon Chapman follow-up was The Heart She Holler? No, Xavier, Renegade Angel was the next thing, I believe.
I never saw it. I just remember how, I do remember how ridiculous the outfit was. Is it the hat that I'm remembering? The amazing hat?
Was that the beer can hat? I don't remember exactly, but think of it. It's not practical in any way. And it hurts.
And it hurts. Did you know people who collected beer cans?
My sister did.
No way.
Because we go up down like the back roads, and I was in Roswell, Georgia, which now is kind of all connected. But back when we were kids, it was just redneck and rural. And it really, everybody was looking for those Billy beer cans because they were worth $200, looking for a rusted Billy beer can. And yeah, my sister collected beer cans.
That was the same era because I had Billy beer. And then the other thing you wanted were what they called cone tops.
Cone tops. I don't know what that
were is. Beer cans from the 30s.
Oh, wow.
Where they literally had a cone top.
Oh, wait, so you collected them. Did you get into CB radio?
I wanted to be into CB radio. But
your religion didn't allow it?
That's right. It was against my religion. My parents wouldn't buy me a CB, but that's absolutely exactly the bullseye of my childhood.
That's same thing. Same here. And
CW McCall, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, that was like when it had reached everywhere. But I mean, this was starting in the South and the Midwest, you know. That was, once they got in a convoy, that was, you know, by the time LA knew of it, it was way past. But,
right.
Yeah, I remember there was a handful of us, and one of us, I think it was Glenn Harris, had a CB radio, and we'd get on and just, you know, prank other truckers, you know.
What was your handle?
I had two, Cottonmouth and Dr. Death.
Those are good.
Yeah, I was probably 12. But we was 12, we talk, you know, we do just what we imagine trucker voice, you know, Southern. But, you know, we were also 12, so our voice didn't match. You know, we still had a 12-year voice trying to trick other truckers.
You got a smoky on your back door, 10-4.
Yeah, we try to make stuff up and try to get it into the vernacular, and you know, America in the 70s.
Beer can hat. Yeah, I actually took it so far as to become a member of the BCCA, Beer Can Collectors of America.
Wow. So what happened when you gave it up, or you said, I'm done, or what was that decision like? And then also, what did you do with beer cans after that?
It's sad because I wish I still had them, but my parents got divorced and we moved.
Oh, Rob, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's years of therapy have gotten me to the point where I can openly talk of it. But we had a very traumatic move away from my, you know, home in Dayton to, like, we spent some time in Colorado in a little town and then ended up in California. But the beer cans did not make it on the trip. And I have no memory of what happened. I can't imagine I threw them away. I think I probably have blacked it out.
Did you like sell them to somebody, a friend or
I would have, I think something? Maybe I saw, because across the street, Craig Eifert across the street had the killer beer can collection that I could never compete with.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Primo, Coors, Cone Tops. And Coors, finding a Coors can was insane because, you know, they didn't sell it east of the Mississippi River.
Yeah.
In fact, I didn't realize that the entire predicate of Smokey and the Bandit, talk about Breaker 1-9, mm-hmm. is this theft of a Coors beer stash to bring it east of the Mississippi River.
To bring it to Atlanta.
Was it Atlanta?
Yeah. And they filmed some of that in Roswell. They talked about it for a year. Hey, man, Burt Reynolds, go. And who's that other motherfucker? Burt Reynolds and, you know, the... the fat dude from Honeymooners, you know, whatever. And, but everybody's excited about Burt Reynolds.
Oh my God, you just transported me.
That's what I do.
Where else can you go surfing and skiing in the same day? Or check out a world-class art museum and camp out under a brilliant night sky, same day. Or hike through the redwoods and get a luxury spa treatment. There's only one answer, California. No matter where you go across this state, you will find a way to play. I love California. And I have not yet surfed and skied in the same day, although I do both. So that is on my bucket list. It's the most beautiful place in the world. Discover why California is the ultimate playground. Head to visitcalifornia.com to start planning your trip today.
Hey, listeners. Ever have trouble getting someone on the phone when you have a question about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Thanks to Quince, I can get high-end, versatile pieces at fantastic prices. They've got killer luxury essentials that are perfect for my wardrobe. Quince has all the must-haves, like Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50, iconic 100% leather jackets, and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of middlemen and passes that savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. One of my producers tried Quince, and here's what he had to say.
I'm really excited to revamp my closet with Quince. There are so many great options at pretty unbeatable prices. I'm really excited to try out the burgundy cashmere crew neck. I love the blue chore jacket. Maybe I'll throw some joggers in there. These are great options at pretty unbeatable prices.
Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/rob for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince, quince.com/rob to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/rob.
I'm just staggered. I want more of Georgia, David.
People say like, oh, you don't have an accent. And that was intentional because I was born in Atlanta and I moved when I was like one. And I lived in a couple places in Florida, three places in Florida where my two other sisters were born. And then we lived in a couple places in Connecticut and then three places in New York and then moved back to Georgia when I was nine. And I was there until I was 19. And I was old enough. I hadn't really gotten a Southern accent by the time I left when I was like five, I guess. And when I moved back there, I like consciously didn't want to have, I was really upset that we had to move to Georgia. And I kind of fought it. I fought a lot of that stuff. Sometimes in an obstinate way that, like stuff that I truly love now, like barbecue and Southern rock and soul food and, you know, things like that. I was like, I'm not eating barbecue. It's my favorite food in the whole world. And I probably knew it then, but like, nope. And I'm not going to listen to Lynyrd Skynyrd and I'm not going to, you know, whatever. And,
yeah.
And now I've come to, you know, appreciate and love a lot of that stuff. I mean, I was dipping it. I mean,
yeah, dipping. Hell yeah.
Chewing.
I was a beech nut guy.
I didn't go for the beech nut. There was, did you dip? Did you do Skull or Copenhagen?
I never. I had friends who did it. I never did that. That was a bridge too far.
But that shit would get you. Fuck me. I mean, it would.
Yes.
I'd put a little in. You're talking about like a 14-year-old. And, just peer pressure by that. But after a few years, it's just like, this is where everybody I'm hanging out with, all white. It was like the whitest, and those like sleeveless puffy jacket vest things that didn't have, sleeves. And
I'd wear those vests, but there'd not be a shirt. It'd just be the vest.
And what was tubing a part of your?
Hell yes. Oh, dude, come on.
We'd go tubing down the Chattahoochee all the time. And like shitty weed, like really like Colombian gold and like nothing. I remember the first time I had like indica or something like that, and it fucking knocked my ass. And I was like, probably, I'm going to guess like 15. And I was just used to kind of dirt weed. Like we all were,
Yeah.
And leaf. I could barely even talk, Yeah. And that stuff pales to what we have now. I mean, it's not, that stuff is the dirt weed of today. But yeah, that was Georgia childhood.
It's funny how when you move it, when you're a kid and it's traumatic, you're so right. You kind of dig in and like, I'm not gonna change who I am for this new culture. Like, cause I ended up from, do you remember Levi Toughskins?
Yes, I do.
Do you remember those? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was a big Levi Toughskin guy, and and I ended up in Malibu in 1976, and I was like, "Fuck this place, Malibu."
Totally different. It's completely
like,
different culture.
Who needs sun and the beach and the ocean? But I was in my Toughskins, and I was not, and everybody else was in shorts. And where I came from, guys didn't wear shorts unless they were cut off Levi's. You could wear that.
Yeah. Yeah. I had cut off jeans.
Yeah. Cut off jeans.
Which ironically would make a reappearance as I got older. But yeah.
But like I hung onto those Toughskins for way too long and like wasn't going to learn how to surf, thought it was ridiculous. And of course, guess what I love now? Surfing.
Yeah. I'm sure. And what? How old were you at that point?
I was 13.
Yeah, that's prime time. You get there and you're just becoming your own person, and you're sensing your individuality and who you are. And yeah, you dig in. I dug in. I was like, I'm not gonna. And of course, as I said, like that was when I was 9, but I didn't last very long. And a few years later, I'm still got my dip. Just disgusting, stupid shit.
Were you a baseball fan?
Oh, big time, yeah.
Okay, good. So did you ever have the thing where you put the chewing tobacco, but you wrapped it with bubble gum?
No.
Yeah, that was a thing. Yeah, that was a thing. I never heard of that. Yeah, that's because that's what, like, somehow I got it in my head that that's what the new, cool, young baseball major leaguers were doing.
Wait, so you thought that wasn't a thing that you thought was a thing?
I don't know. Looking back, because no one, I've asked this question to a couple other people, and everybody goes, no, I've never heard it. But I'm telling you, I remember it vividly, like, oh, yeah, no, man. Like, Bob Horner, third base, let's go.
Oh, man. I think I love the idea that you, as a 13-year-old, got, like, just put two things together, and that became, like, yeah, that's what they're doing. I don't think people were doing that. That's really funny.
Where did I get that into my head?
I don't know. You were 13. Who knows? That's funny.
You know, the other thing I collected were, there had to have been, like, 7-Elevens or whatever. Like, that was, like, where you'd, like, for me in Ohio, it was, like, a big night to walk to the 7-Eleven and get a Slurpee. Like, that was the height of entertainment. And then they had the baseball trading cups, as they called them. And I'll never forget the Bob Horner one was these horrible caricatures of the baseball players. And it was Bob Horner on the hot corner, Jack Clark lights the spark at Candlestick Park. So amazing.
That's a pretty good memory. That's good. Yeah.
I want those. I really want to find those again.
Our place that was like the high school hangout, I was too young for it really, but it was just a McDonald's off of Roswell Road.
Sure.
And all the all the kids would go to the McDonald's. There wasn't a whole lot around.
Isn't it insane that that's what, like, our kids today be like, I'm sorry, what? They cannot imagine that it was fun for us. Like, the McDonald's, we just let the lights go off. Like, they turn the lights off. Ooh, they're closing it down. Ooh.
Yeah. Did you have midnight movies? Was that a big thing when you got older?
You mean going to the midnight movies?
When I got to be about, I don't know, 16, I'll say. So Perimeter Mall had, I think, 3 movie theaters in it. And that was like the closest. It was still a drive, but it was like the closest one. And then they had midnight movies, which were always, there was like a rock and roll one and mm-hmm. a, you know, horror film one. Yep. And then like a you know, sexy one.
Right. It'd be like the Groove Tube. And then it would be a Ralph Bakshi cartoon, which I never got.
There you go.
I never got the Ralph Bakshi.
Well, that's about being high. That's about getting, you know, really wasted and going to see it. And Heavy Metal. Did you ever see Heavy Metal?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
And then, how about this one? Kentucky Fried Movie.
Oh yeah. Way better than Groove Tube, I think.
But they're they feel like they belong on the same bill.
Similar thing, but Kentucky Fried Movie was far superior.
Speaking of movies, see how good I am at segueing? Wasn't that good?
It was really good, because we were speaking, literally speaking, of movies.
And
then you said it out loud.
That out loud, mm-hmm. and that enables us to go into another different part of the conversation.
A segue, if you will.
Yeah.
Even if you won't.
Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Sure.
So my neighbor is Ross Bagdasarian.
Oh, tell him I said hello.
He's the most competitive human being who ever lived. For those of you who don't know, Ross Bagdasarian's father, and this is, it's kind of an apocryphal story, but I think it's true because Ross tells it. His father, Ross Bagdasarian Sr., was down to his last $200. He was like a singer-songwriter or whatever, right? Is this making sense? And spends the last money the family has on the earliest version of an audio tape recorder. And the wife is like, okay, this time you've gone too far. This is it. We're divorcing. You're a loser. Nothing you ever do goes right. It's over. And he's screwing around with the voices, speeding it up, and records the Witch Doctor. With that,
that's right, the Witch Doctor, right?
I saw the Witch Doctor. He told me what this with the crazy, just because he's screwing around with a thing, and it becomes, against all odds, a crazy national hit song.
Yeah,
and he made up the Chipmunks just because that was just the name he went for that song, and then decided to do a cartoon, and on and on and on. And today, the Chipmunks lives on and is a multi billion dollar. Business, and his son then took over and has been running the Chipmunks for probably 40 years at least. And so I'm well versed in Janice, his wife, does almost all of the voices.
Yeah.
Alvin! Right, to hear. And what's the guy's name? Who's the dad, the fake dad of the Chipmunks? What's that character's name?
Oh, Dave. Of course. Dave, yes.
But that's Ross. That's Ross's voice. And we would play tennis. He'd be like, that ball is out.
When you said he was competitive, I was wondering in what way. But now I know you mean in sports.
In golf, sports, every single.
Well, tell Ross and Janice I said hello and, hope they're doing well.
I will.
One of my favorite stories. And I have a couple that are like this. But I had a trip with my wife. And when we took this like 2-week tour around Southern Africa, we were in Mozambique, which is kind of a long, skinny country on the Indian Ocean. And we had gone to, when I say it took an hour and change to get from even a small town through back roads, difficult terrain where there's nothing, literally nothing around. And then kind of coming through this terrain and getting this really fairly desolate strip of beach that was fairly long and had little pockets of there's some huts here and some there's a place to stay here and a place down. And the place we were staying at was having this ridiculous like echo rave for 35 people, but it was just loud and annoying with a DJ and everything. And I'm like, fuck this. And I went down the beach and I went walked about, you know, roughly a mile to this other kind of outcropping of rooms. And I walked down the beach and I walk in and I'm like, hi, excuse me. Do you have any extra rooms? And the woman looks up at me. I'm in Mozambique in this tiny little, and she's like, Alvin and the Chipmunks? yeah, it was crazy. It was nuts. And that's one of several stories I have of but that's the most, I mean, I was talking about being in the middle of nowhere.
Well, it's the reach of what you do sometimes as an actor, you just can't imagine. And
well, now it's cable and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's not as surprising maybe, but I remember it's funny. You mentioned going to Africa and this ties into Bernie Brillstein, who, by the way, produced and discovered Alf.
He discovered Alf. He discovered Alf at a...
at Starbucks. No, there wasn't a Starbucks then.
Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf.
What's the... At Schwab's yeah. Drugstore, Alf was sitting there with Angelian. it's the middle... It's the same thing. It's the Serengeti Plain. It's the Serengeti Plain. It's the Rift Valley. It's where man first walked upright. Mm-hmm. There's no one... It takes you 2 days in a car to get there. And we had never seen any other human beings, and finally over the ridge come the Maasai warriors, and they're just so splendid and just heroic looking, and I look, and one of them is wearing an Alf t-shirt and I was like, well, there you have it.
And here's the great thing, he was a part of the Nielsen family, so his viewership, you know, counted
for more than mine. My family was a Nielsen family for a hot second, and I remember it was in the mid 80s and I was kind of not really living at home, but I would come home and they were like diligently writing. It's when you had to write down what you wrote. There wasn't a box, there wasn't any of that stuff.
It was like a journal, and I
then later on I had a show, and somebody reached out to me who, you know, you have people in your life and you don't cross paths for years, and then they reached out and said, oh, by the way, I'm a Nielsen family member. I was like, oh, well then there. And she would say that she had five people come over every time the current show I was on. And I could see when she did it, the numbers in Chicago would go up by 500,000 people. Like, it was like the craziest. It was like the craziest. Like, what is that algorithm? That doesn't seem right. But. Looking for a sparkling clean bathroom without so much hassle? Wet and Forget Weekly Shower Cleaner is here to revolutionize your cleaning future. Just spray today, rinse tomorrow, and voila! Enjoy a sparkling clean shower and tub without any scrubbing. It's the secret to a hassle-free clean bathroom that many are discovering. With over 33,000 five-star reviews, Wet and Forget Weekly Shower Cleaner has proven its effectiveness on shower glass, fixtures, tiles, and more, ensuring everything shines with minimal effort. This product has gained a loyal following thanks to its once-a-week application that makes it a standout in the cleaning aisle. Join the ranks of satisfied users who enjoy more me time and less clean time with Wet and Forget Weekly Shower Cleaner, available at Amazon, Lowe's, Menards, Home Depot, and Ace Hardware. It's the perfect choice for anyone wanting to simplify their cleaning routine. Don't miss out on a chance to transform your bathroom cleaning with just one application a week. Pick up a bottle of Wet and Forget Weekly Shower Cleaner today and join the thousands who've already made the switch to effortless clean.
Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project. transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.
I love fast cars, but there aren't a ton of high-performance EVs. They're certainly out here, there, but when I get a chance to get behind the wheel of one, I love it, and I was blown away by the Kia EV6 GT. When you get behind the wheel of the Kia, it is literally like being in a state-of-the-art rocket ship, but also comfortable. The thing goes from 0 to 60 in 3.4 seconds. It is the premium driving experience. And of course, it's an EV. So the climate thanks you. SiriusXM provides access to over 165 channels in the vehicle. Music, sports, news, comedy, yacht rock. Let's go. Little Steely Dan going in your Kia. Come on now. So check it out today. It is the all-electric Kia EV6 GT. I had a blast checking it out. Believe me, you should do it yourself via kia.com/EV6 to learn more. That is kia.com/EV6. Kia, movement that inspires. The Gifford Pinchot National Forest is where your character is hiking in The Dark Divide, correct? Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Yes. That is correct. Yeah.
It's not the Bronson Pinchot National Forest, which is a whole.
No, we lobbied to do that, but they didn't, you know, because he had nothing to do with it and Gifford Pinchot did. So they kept it Gifford.
Okay. That makes a little more sense.
No, we tried.
Yes.
So I did a movie, and it's mostly, based on a true story, based on a guy's, what became a collection of books. He wasn't a big writer at the time, but now he's like one of the most revered naturists in America, but a guy named Robert Pyle. And it's an amalgamation of a bunch of his books, but it's about this guy who is completely ill-prepared to do this journey through 126 miles of what is the most rugged terrain and uncharted stuff, area, a lot of it uncharted in, unprotected in America, at least the lower 48. And
what state is it in, by the way?
So we shot in Oregon Oregon into Washington. I think it goes to both. Cause yeah, it ends at the Cascade River. I don't know. It was a crazy shoot. The most grueling, arduous thing I've ever done in my life. It was really, really hard. And a lot of near misses. Yeah, it was tough. And there are a couple things you'll see on screen. It's like, that's for real. That really happened. And a lot of bruises and scrapes. It takes place in 95. And this guy, his wife had just died of cancer. And she kind of tricks him into going, doing this thing he had always talked about doing, threatening, oh, I'll do it one day. I'm definitely going to do it. I'm getting ready. And he ends up, she forces his hand. And he, you know, it's one of those contemplative things where he comes out a different person through all the things and he experiences, and it was good. It's actually a good movie. It's beautiful. It's stunning, man. There's a lot of these, some drone shots that are just like, I mean, it's a magnificent part of the country. I don't know if you've been into the woods in the Pacific Northwest,
yeah,
but
it's great.
They're wildly different than what I'm used to in the South or the Northeast. I mean,
yep.
I've been in beautiful woods, but man, this is a whole different, I mean, it's like mythical and medieval and just a crazy, beautiful, beautiful movie. Like the
where can one see this movie?
On most of the streaming things, it's definitely not Netflix though, but it's like, I think it's Hulu and Vudu and Tibi and Tubu and yeah. Bobby and yeah. Boo-Boo.
It's Rookie and Kooky and Quappy, yeah. And
It's in a bunch of those.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. So we've talked about, we have beer can collecting. We had almost the same childhood, kind of. Mm. And we talked about the midnight movies.
I'm going to have to interrupt you. I think you were, I didn't think you grew into this kind of rugged Tiger Beat handsomeness. I think you always had that quality. I was a weirdo Jew with thick glasses and a Jew fro. And I don't think we had quite the same experience.
But see, I see myself in you. I don't know what that says about me, but I immediately hear your story.
You gotta up your self-esteem. Yeah.
But no, we have the same cultural. How about this? Will you buy this as a thesis? Yeah. We had the same cultural touchstones.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Well, clearly. Okay. Yeah.
So, Legend of Boggy Creek. Is that ringing a bell for you?
I know the name. I don't remember what that was.
Well, it's about Bigfoot, and it was a huge thing for me in the midnight movies. And when the minute you talk about shooting a movie where you shot this movie, did you see Bigfoot? Was Bigfoot up there?
Everyone always asked me that. I didn't see him. And people ask, like, so do you believe in Bigfoot? Because that's part of one of the questions that is threaded through this movie is the idea of Bigfoot.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. The whether they exist. And Robert, the real Robert Pyle is a biologist and I believe Harvard educated. I mean, like really smart.
Right.
And so it goes against every scientific thing that he knows that they're, but he ends up grappling with this question, is there a Bigfoot? And it's really, he's an awesome dude. He's a great, great, cool guy. And he's in a band with Kirsten Novoselic from Nirvana. How about that?
What?
Yeah, they do music about Bigfoot. I'm not kidding.
They do music about Bigfoot.
Yes, I am not kidding. He has, you know, multiple side projects, and that's one of them. Yeah, check out the movie. I think you'll like it, Dark Divide. But it's about, I can't say it's about Bigfoot, but that is a thing that comes up a couple times.
That's too good. A long time obsession with beer cans and Bigfoot. At least it's alliterative. Everything I like begins with a B. And
so there's your next book.
Beer cans and Bigfoot is a good one, isn't it? Ooh. Yeah. I'm writing that down.
You don't have to. It's recorded.
I got to ask you about Arrested Development, which is one of the great. I mean, I always argue with people about greatest comedies of the, you know, and it's for sure on the list. That goes without saying. Let me ask you, what are your favorite TV comedies?
I mean, I loved Arrested Development. I have a huge respect for the writing and the entirety of it. I was a big fan of Community.
Yep.
Growing up, I loved MASH and I loved the Carol Burnett Show. Then when I got a little older, Python, and I loved Soap.
Yep.
And I loved Barney Miller. And then I kind of stopped watching TV for quite a while. I mean, a good 15 years. I don't think I watched TV.
Never saw Cheers. I never saw any of those shows.
Exactly.
Never saw them.
I only saw and probably when they were repeated, I've seen four Seinfelds, you know, and I've seen, you're right, like maybe 10 Cheers or something.
Same.
Like that.
Exact
no,
same.
No Friends, you know.
No, same.
And yeah, I just stopped watching for a long, 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 long time. So there's big gaps there, but you know, in people would turn you on to like, you got to watch Wonder Shows, and currently Penis or Pen 15. I'm not sure. Amazing show. Great, great, acting and writing and, just a wonderful show. And, there's so much really good stuff out there, but,
Pen 15, I've heard, you're the second person today who I really respect talk about that.
Rob, it's so
is it so good?
So good. The acting is the acting, the writing, the whole, and the kid. The conceit of it is the two older girls who are playing themselves. Versions of themselves in I think it's ninth grade or something like that.
So
and
great.
And they're surrounded by real younger kids or cast, you know, who aren't the adults, and they're amazing. Those kids. That's some of the best acting. It's a really, really, and it's poignant and it's real and it's, oh my God, talk about touchstones and, bringing things up that you remember and those emotions and the awkwardness. It's just they're it's just genius. It's great.
I can't wait. I just hear just the notion of the older actors making no attempt to make an excuse for the fact that they're way too old to play the parts they're playing.
Oh, it's great. It's perfect. You just check it out for real. So you got to watch Dark Divide, then watch Penis, and then watch
The Wonder Show's in follow up.
Yes, Xavier Renegade Angel and The Heart She Holler.
The Heart She Holler, like Holler is in like the hills, like in the hills of Virginia.
At some point, my phone is going to go off. It's right here. I have to take the ribs out.
Well, listen, enjoy the ribs.
I hope so. Yes.
And this was so much fun. I've got great stuff I get to catch up on.
Yeah. Thank you, Rob.
Oh my gosh. He is so funny. He is so dry. He is like super dry. Like there are times I'm like, oh, no, that's a joke. It took me a minute. He's so dry. He makes Christopher Guest seem like Carrot Top. Unreal. What a funny, smart man. That was great. Okay, so before we wrap up for the week, it is time. Yes, it is. It's called the Lowdown Line.
Hello, you've reached literally in our Lowdown Line, where you can get the lowdown on all things about me, Rob Lowe. 323-570-4551. So have at it. Here's the beep.
Hey, Rob Lowe. My name is Regina, and I'm from Saratoga, New York. And I adore you, first of all, in everything you've ever done. I am curious. I know you love animals and dogs, especially, and was wondering about Champion from Parks and Rec. Whose dog was that, or is that, if he's still alive, and I hope he is. And it looked like you really got along really well with him. Do you still see Champion? Thanks, Rob. Love to you and your family. Bye-bye.
Aw, thanks, Regina. Oh, it's great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. Yes, it was obvious, wasn't it, how much I love Champion? I loved that dog so much. First of all, I love animals and I love dogs anyway, but Champion was really, really special. And one of my great memories of doing Parks and Recreation is the scene where my character, Chris Traeger, is being emotional. I think he's crying, lying on a bed, and Champion is just licking his face and it's making Chris laugh. And we had to put, you know, the old trick, you put a little bit of peanut butter on your face and the dog, you know, wants to lick it off. Champion was so sweet, but Champion passed away last year, sadly enough. And he was a trained professional actor. He was a rescue that they trained. And I don't remember if Champion was written as a three-legged dog and then they found a three-legged dog, or the dog that they brought to play Champion showed up in that. I don't remember the genesis of it. But I particularly love I did a talking head in Parks and Rec with Champion. And in a Kennedy voice, I say, "Each bean, I'm three-legged dog." And instead of saying, "I am a Berliner," or whatever Kennedy was saying when he said it, it said, "I love this three-legged dog." It's so stupid and fun. Thanks for making me remember the amazing Champion. Thanks. I hope you had fun, as I always do. Next week, there's more fun in store right here on Literally, so keep coming back.
You have been listening to Literally with Rob Lowe, produced and engineered by me, Rob Schulte. Our coordinating producer is Lisa Berm. The podcast is executive produced by Rob Lowe for Low Profile, Jeff Ross, Adam Sachs, and Joanna Solitaroff at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson at Stitcher. Our talent bookers are Gina Batista, Paula Davis, and Britt Kahn, and music is by Devin Torrey Bryant. Make sure to leave us a rating and review, and we'll see you next week on Literally with Rob Lowe.
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Stitcher.
Thank you. Mom, I got the job in Manhattan.
Do you have a warm enough winter coat? What about your car?
I'm selling it with Kelley Blue Book Instant Cash Offer.
How?
I enter my license plate number, miles, condition, upload photos, and boom! An official cash offer from a local dealership.
A cash offer instantly? Oh, did you call Aunt Stella? She's right there in Massachusetts.
Mom, I literally just got the job.
Not everything is as simple as selling your car with Kelley Blue Book Instant Cash Offer. Price it, fix it, trade it, sell it, KBB.com it.